It's 13 minutes past four. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. Lovely to have you along this afternoon. You'd be aware of the proposed development at Toondah Harbour in the Redlands Council area, just to the east at Cleveland. A company, the Walker Group, who are developing the site, have released a draft environmental impact study and submission to respond to this, which apparently it closes tomorrow afternoon. BirdLife Australia claims the draft EIS, the Environmental Impact Statement or study, falls well short of identifying the true potential impact, including failing to mention a population of 160 eastern curlews, a bird who roost there. Judith Hoyle is a member of BirdLife Australia. Judith Hoyle, where does your group feel that the EIS falls short of expectations?
Thanks for having me on, Steve. Look, it's full of unsubstantiated claims. They say that it will have no impact on the ecological character of the Moreton Bay Ramsar site. There's nothing to substantiate that claim. The counts of eastern curlew, as you just mentioned, are well underrepresented. And there's so many other holes that we feel that this EIS cannot be accepted. For example, the buffer zones that are supposed to protect roosting and feeding habitats for migratory shorebirds are either totally inadequate or non-existent.
Are there any scientists that agree with this position, Judith Hoyle?
Yes, I would like to say that when Walker released the draft EIS, it said that the scientific community had given the project a tick of approval. It didn't mention that these independent scientists were actually paid by the Walker Corporation and all had been asked to sign non-disclosure agreements.
That's a normal part of the EIS preparation, isn't it?
Well, I think for them to say that the scientists that gave it the tick of approval were independent must be called into question. It might be common practice, but whether that always results in sound scientific decisions has to be called into question. Now, we have 33 national and international shorebird and wetland scientists who have all, and they're all experts in the field, and they've all opposed the proposal due to its impacts on shorebirds in the Ramsar wetland. And one of those people that has written to the Minister for the Environment, Tanya Plibersek, is a past Deputy Secretary of the Ramsar Convention. Now, we're not just talking about a little local issue. We're talking about a statewide, national and international issue. And interestingly, delegates from the 2022 Australian Shorebird Conference, which was held recently in October, they released an unprecedented formal statement opposing the development. So no, this has not been approved by the scientific community. It's been approved by 11 experts that have been remunerated by the Walker Corporation.
My guest is Judith Hoyle. Judith Hoyle is board member of BirdLife Australia. Just explain what's meant by the a Ramsar wetland, if you would, please.
Right. So the Ramsar Convention was established back in the 70s. It's a small town on the Caspian Sea in Iran. But that convention came together because there was a recognition back then of the loss of wetlands and the impact this would have globally. So Australia was the first country to sign on to the Ramsar Convention, and it identified 66 Ramsar sites within Australia. All these have to meet strict criteria to be recognised as wetlands of international importance. In other words, these are the global gems. They belong to everyone, not to a private development where a developer wishes to put on 3,600 apartments that would completely remove over 40 hectares of eastern curlew habitat, another migratory shorebird habitat. So these birds are critically endangered species. The Albanese government launched the Threatened Species Action Plan in September this year. The eastern curlew was one of 22 birds identified on that action plan. So we are talking about a precedent, I guess, that is unheard of. Within the draft EIS, the Walker Corporation does mention some sites that they say invoke the wise use principle, which is what they're saying justifies this development. So under the Ramsar Convention, Ramsar sites may be developed for the urgent national interest or for wise use, but they are not comparing apples with apples. The two developments they refer to, it's a bit like comparing a cherry tomato to a big pumpkin.
Okay, so a development of a Ramsar wetland of this scale has apparently not been approved elsewhere in the past.
No.
Why is this particular site a danger then? I mean, I could be wrong, but 160 eastern curlews doesn't sound like a great many birds to me. The assumption is that I thought that they could nest elsewhere. Like, it's not as if there's only one small patch where they can nest. There's a whole vast area all throughout the Moreton Bay Islands area where they can nest.
Okay, so if we look at the whole of the Moreton Bay Ramsar site, it's recognised as the most important site in Australia for eastern curlew. 75% of the global population of eastern curlew come to Australia, and most of them come to the Moreton Bay site. Under the Single Species International Single Species Action Plan for the eastern curlew, which was co-funded by the Australian government, it notes that, and let me find that little bit because I would like to quote it to you. It notes that all range states must do everything in their power to prevent further habitat loss, to prevent the imminent extinction of this species. Let's talk about your point about 169 birds. These birds have a very short flight initiation distance. They're very, very spooked. We can't afford, according to the scientific literature and according to national action plans for this species, afford to lose a single bird. And every time they're disturbed, which they would be at this Oyster Point roost where they were counted, because of the increase in water traffic that would come with this development, they fly, they lose opportunities to rest, they'll be disturbed at feeding grounds as well by watercraft. Every single one of those events will put them up in the air. They use energy reserves, and that can result in two outcomes. One is that they may fail to migrate because they don't reach a critical body mass to do the journey, or they start the migration and fail, and that means that they die. So we lose all the breeding life of that bird. So whilst 169 birds doesn't sound that much, in terms of a threat to every single one of these birds, is magnified, and it pushes the birds towards extinction. Simple as.
Judith Hoyle is from BirdLife Australia. So, Judith Hoyle, it's been quite a long process to this point, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. I've personally been involved in this campaign since the end of 2015, yes.
It's been longer than that, from what I recall, that the whole development proposal has been before the public.
Oh, yes. This is, it's been around in multiple iterations for longer than that. I guess it came into our domain, if you like, when the priority development area was announced and Walker Corporation was successful in putting forward plans. But I think the public needs to understand that the original plans were on a much smaller scale. There was nothing like the extent of the development that is now being put forward for the public to make comment on.
So, and now the comment period now closes?
Well, it actually closes on Monday, close of business on Monday, Tuesday the 6th of December. So everyone does have an opportunity to go onto the Walker site or onto the BirdLife Act for Birds site and put in submissions to the Walker Corporation if they have concerns. Steve, I just want to come back to the point you made about, Moreton Bay is very, very big, and there's lots of places where these birds could go. even when I came up to Queensland first in 1988 and saw thousands of migratory shorebirds before the global decline occurred, even then there were large swathes of mud that had no birds in them. The Healthy Land and Water has just released its report card for the Moreton Bay catchment, and it's given the water quality in Moreton Bay an F. In other words, it's failed. The amount of mud that's coming in and silting the feeding grounds and reducing foraging and reducing areas where birds can roost is of great concern. So the idea that these birds can go somewhere else and feed is wrong. It's not, you know, this again has been put forward in the draft EIS. That's an unsubstantiated claim.
Even though 3 years scientists have said, you know, that the project's okay, although you say they're with Walker Group, but qualified people have said, you know, they don't have the same concerns.
Well, yes, but ultimately many more qualified people have raised significant concerns.
Right, okay.
What we're saying is that you cannot describe the Walker Corporation's independent panel, scientific panel, as independent, because they are not.
Okay,
they
because someone pays them. But someone pays everyone. I mean, your scientists, you know, associated with you, they're not independent either, are they?
Well,
everyone gets paid by someone.
Yeah, but you've got to understand, Steve, that BirdLife is a different organisation. It's made up of many, many volunteers with great scientific credentials who don't get paid, who volunteer their time and who volunteer their expertise at no cost. And BirdLife has a long, you know, we're Australia's oldest conservation organisation that bases its conservation efforts on science and knowledge. So I think that the general public has the opportunity to think, well, yes, we've got Walker Corporation saying one thing.
Well, let's let the general public think what they want to think themselves. When does the public consultation period close?
On Tuesday the 6th at close of business.
Okay. And if someone wants to comment on the environmental impact study, where do they go, Judith?
They can go to BirdLife Australia's Act for Birds site, the Toondah EIS. That takes them to a facility that allows their comments to be directly uploaded into the Walker Corporation portal.
All right, that's pretty clear.
Or they can go to the Walker Corporation portal and put in their objections.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Steve.
Judith Hoyle from BirdLife Australia. And if you'd like your voice to be heard, you can have your say via submitting your view directly to the Walker Corporation's Toondah EIS portal or BirdLife Australia's Act for Birds Toondah EIS portal, which apparently will automatically upload submissions to the Walker Corporation website.
This is ABC Radio Brisbane.